We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 15 for our study today. Genesis chapter 15. Abram, or Abram, more precisely pronounced, and his allies, his trained men, and the few men that have joined him, have just come off of a huge victory. This small force has defeated several kings who banded together in an attempt to take over the territory. And they had taken his nephew, Lot, as a hostage. And so, faithful to his relative, faithful to blood, he acted and saved. These kings attempted to thank him by giving him a portion of the spoils, and he refused it. He says, no, I don't want what you have, lest you try and take credit for making me rich. That credit goes to God and God alone. He encountered Melchizedek and paid a tithe to him. And on the heels of these incredible events, now God is speaking to him and making a promise to him. He's promising him a son. Something incredible for a man of his age, nearly 100. But he's promising him a son and a land in which his descendants may live. Abram asked God how he could know for sure that God would do this. And God shows him. It took darkness, however, for Abram to clearly see. And God will use that darkness in which he has placed you to help you see better that he is a covenant-keeping God and one who never, never goes back on a promise. We're going to focus on verses 7 to 21, but I will read the chapter to you so that we can have a fuller context of what's happening. Hear the word of the Lord, Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." He said, "O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. The birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror of great darkness fell upon him. God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then, in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." It came about, when the sun had set, that it was very dark. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch, which passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land." from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite, and the Kenizzite, and the Kadmonite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusite. This is the word of the Lord our God. Beloved, you can be confident in the dark because of God's covenant promise to you. Be confident in the dark because of God's covenant promise to you. As we have seen, darkness, both circumstantial and spiritual, is ordained in our lives by God. Here, verses 12 and 17. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And verse 17, it came about that when the sun had set, that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. Diseases, wars, joblessness, loneliness, infertility, fear, doubt, lust, envy, greed, all darkness. And yet none of these escapes the notice of your God, and none of them happens in your life without his notice. Some of them are, in fact, decreed by him, that you would grow, that you would trust him, and that he would be glorified in and through your life. And not just despite the pain, not just despite the darkness, but because of it. Because it was dark, the light was more appreciated. In the darkness, the light is best seen and most appreciated. Here, verses 17 to 21. It came about that when the sun had set, that it was very dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between those pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite, and the Kenizzite, and the Kadmonite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusite. It was in this deep darkness, in which it was not only physically, circumstantially dark, but spiritually dark for Abram in his terror, that God revealed the greatness of his promise. And he specified what was going on. Picture it this way. Have you been in this sanctuary at night when all the lights are off? Okay, right now, if someone was standing here and you weren't paying attention to them and they lit a match and just held it right here, you'd probably barely notice it. Why? Lights are on and the sun is shining. There is greater light than that match. It would be drowned out by light. But when it's pitch black in here, if someone were standing in the corner and you were at the far end, and they lit one little match, your eyes would instantly be drawn to it. Instantly. Because it would be the only light in darkness. He is your only light in this world's darkness. And praise God that sometimes he reminds us of that. He tells Abram as an example, go outside, count the stars if you're able. Have you gone outside to count the stars? Sometimes just to look up at them and appreciate them? Have you done that in the city? With all the street lights and the building lights and the lights from the cars? You can be happy if you see 10, 20. But then you go out into the country, away from the streetlights, away from the car's lights, where it's dark, and all of a sudden you realize there have been billions of stars there the whole time, and you just couldn't see them. He's been here the whole time, and maybe you just can't see him. And so he gets your attention. He gets your attention. In the dark, God showed Abram things that he had never imagined. And Abram paid close attention in that darkness and terror. Has it ever seemed to you that the old saying is true, that your senses get sharper in the dark? I'd conflict with that just a little bit. I think you pay more attention in the dark. If you get home late at night and you park and you've got a way to walk to get into the house, it's a little nerve-wracking. So you're listening. Okay, is there an animal that's going to jump out? Is there a person somewhere around here? It isn't that your senses are necessarily sharper. You're just paying much more attention. This is what God wants from you. Now imagine, as God had put the sacrificial system in place, there were constant sacrifices. The air surely filled with smoke, flesh burning, blood, all these things. Imagine that happening in the middle of the night, in the dark, while you were afraid. Your senses would be overwhelmed. The smell, the sound of burning, the sight of those flames, it would be all that you could see. How many people have said and realized that it's when God takes them and sets them down and they can't go anywhere, suddenly they see how great He is. Suddenly they pay attention. Suddenly they're seeing and hearing things they had not seen or heard before as they hear the voice of God. It was with a goat, a ram, a heifer, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon that God promised Abram the land of Canaan. And the covenant made on these replaceable animals now. He promised him a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you remember the portion of the book of Numbers that talks about how great the cluster of grapes was? That the spies who went into the land brought back with them to show how great that land was? You go to Phipps Conservatory. Maybe they're out in the woods here. And you see wild grapes growing. And you see these teeny little grapes. And a little cluster maybe this big. Okay, fine. So you go to the market and you want to get your grapes there. Okay, they're bigger. They might be this big. And the cluster might be this big. The clusters they found in Numbers 13 says this. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and from there cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole between two men, with some of the pomegranates and the figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut down from there. Eshcol means cluster. One commentator writes, "The grapes reared in this locality are still as magnificent as formerly. They are said to be equal in size to prunes and compared by another to a man's thumb." One cluster sometimes weighs 10 or 12 pounds. This was the richness of the land promised in the blood of animals. How much richer, beloved, how much richer the land bought by the blood of the Son of God. That perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice. Your light in the dark. His blood has bought you heaven. A land richer than you'll ever imagine. Remember that. Remember that in the darkness. drive away the birds, because you have the proof of a covenant right in front of you. Verse 11. The birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. Now, I'm not going to over-spiritualize this. It would be easy to do. These were real birds descending on a real sacrifice, attempting to interrupt what God was doing. Now, keep in mind, Abram was waiting. He had set up what was needed, and now was waiting. Are you waiting still? Are the birds coming in to take away your covenant? Perhaps as you wait on God, you've lost your job, but God has told you to stay where you live. Blow the bird away. Believe. Stay put. Perhaps as you wait, you're tempted to go out on your own. Well, God's not acting. I'll do it myself. And maybe you'll rationalize it and you'll say, well, maybe this was God's way to get me to do it. Let that bird away. Because it wants to eat at your covenant promise and make you not believe. And here's the thing. Those birds can sometimes be the most well-meaning people in your life. Faithful, true Christians who do love you. What then? Stick with what you know. The Lord has spoken. And so if these well-meaning friends come along, these well-meaning family members, and they want to tell you something that you know will take you away from remembering the covenant promise of God while you wait in the darkness, consider their words. Don't blow them off. They love you. They're godly. Pray about it. But if you can clearly see that it is not what you need to be doing, then you need to wait. You need to wait. Don't do something that's going to burn your own conscience. As Paul tells us in the New Testament, we've got to be very careful about doing things when we don't really believe that this is what we should be doing, because someone who is more mature than us says it's okay. You've got to be convinced in your own self. So in your darkness, in your time of waiting, keep going to the Lord. He is capable. He sent plagues. And then he pulled his people out, looting the Egyptians along the way. He can and will do for you as well. And there will be no doubt when it happens. There will be no question. And in the midst of your storm, walk on water. That is the ability of the servant of God. And remember, the promises and the covenant came before the darkness fell. You were given that anchor for your storm before the storm even happened. Verses 7 to 10 tell us this. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. He said, O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old female goat and a three-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. By the way, if you're wondering why he didn't cut the birds, God had ordained how sacrifices would occur. And the birds, they were not to be cut in this type of sacrifice. You can read about that in Leviticus. God, see, not only does he keep his word to us, he keeps his own word in his dealings with us. He is that faithful. God is sovereign. He knows the end of the story because he wrote the book. He is right now at the beginning, at the middle, at the end, and beyond the beginning, and beyond the end. all at once. It would take hours and hours and hours to discuss the technicalities of that, and we probably still couldn't grasp it. But if this was the beginning of time, and this was the end of time, God would be at that wall and that wall. But he wouldn't be, because he'd be beyond those. So he knows where you're going. Listen, if he has never broken his word, and he has called you to be his child, and you have bowed the knee to him, what do you have to fear? If it is dark outside, trust him. If it is dark inside, call on him. He is faithful and he will do this. He will answer your prayer. If your spirit is in turmoil today, go to his word. Listen, if God never breaks his oath, never breaks his word, and his word is written, what do you need to do to find out what your benefits are? Read his word, beloved. Just read it and believe it. Believe it, like Abraham believed it. And because he believed, it was counted to him as righteousness. Let your righteousness grow by your belief. Perhaps when you leave here, it'll still hurt. But God. Perhaps tomorrow, it'll still hurt. But God. Perhaps there's something you're struggling with, you just can't seem to get past. But God. He has promised. Have you searched to find what he has to say about your condition? Take the time to do that. Get with Pastor Ramsey. Get with your elders. Get with your family members who have been walking with the Lord. Get with your friends who have been walking with the Lord. Say, help me. I want better. Go into the Word and find out what God has promised. And then remember, he never breaks an oath. We have sung that today. We have seen that in the Word. He never breaks an oath. And in fact, your enemies, he will destroy. So, what do you have to fight off? Birds. Birds. That's not saying your life will be perfect or without pain. That's not for this life. We know that already. Why? His word. In this life, you will have turmoil. You will have trials. But take heart. Because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And lives within you. In my life, I discovered quickly that if I thought I had 100 problems, and I stopped, and I decided that I was going to focus on other people instead of my own, I found out I only had about 10. The rest were just bummers. And out of that 10, I found I could then work on 6 of them. And they were done. So with the 4, that remained a darkness. But in that darkness, Jesus Christ is still Lord. And listen, beloved, when all is said and done, you who believe are going to heaven. You're going to heaven. Remember that. Remember that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Be confident in the dark because of God's covenant promise to you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father and our covenant-keeping God, We have times when we are afraid and when we doubt, because it seems like that thing we have so long wanted or so long fought or so long feared will never change. But by the very fact that we are here now, that we wake up in the morning breathing, means a great thing. It means that you have purpose for us in this world. That is something that the world seeks, pays money to try and find, begs for. People have committed suicide over because they couldn't find purpose and they didn't know why they were here. You told us why in your word. To glorify you and to enjoy you forever. How many Israelites were born, lived their lives, and died waiting for the answer that you sent in the form of Moses? How many have been born and lived and died waiting to see fulfillment? But you are the fulfillment. And when we remember that, this life becomes so much easier to deal with. And when those very real problems stick around, we can work to turn those over to you. We can love you with all that we are and love our neighbor as ourselves. And we can consider other people as better than us. We know that we are in your hands, and today we rest there. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.